Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 95, interview with Hala Smith-Hughes. Hala is a freelance social media strategist and textile designer for Seek and Swoon, designing throws inspired by her experiences traveling the world. And in this episode, we talk about overcoming fear to launch new ideas, how travel inspires creativity, and the importance of communicating your story. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/95. Are you passionate and motivated to make the world a better place and wonder how you're going to market your work? Chris Martin Studios is a video production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness for those who dare to build a better world. Head to chrismartinstudios.com to see the latest goods produced for people just like yourself. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. It's a great way to stay connected with Chris Martin Studios and meet awesome people changing the world. All right, you ready for this interview with Hala? Take it away, interviewer Chris. Hala, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little bit about what you do?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. My name is Hala, and I do a couple of different things. I'm a freelance social media strategist, but I also am, I guess you would call it a textile designer. I design throws that are knit in the USA, designed by me, and they are inspired by travel and places that I've been.
One thing that fascinates me is that you say you have had many new business ideas over the years. How do you find these ideas?
I've had a lot of ideas, a lot of business ideas. I have a folder on my computer that's just filled with literally half-written business plans. Some of them are fully written business plans.
Oh, wow.
And some of them are just notes and research that I've done. I think I've been inspired to start a lot of different businesses over the year in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's because there's a product that I need or want that I can't find, or there's a solution I'm looking for and I've thought about creating that solution myself. Maybe something exists and I want to make it better. So while most people come up with those ideas and are inspired and think, gosh, I wish this was better or more efficient, I then start researching a way to actually create that product or create that service. And I've been doing it for probably over a decade.
Wow. So you go far into that idea phase. What stops you?
I spent a lot of time trying to figure that out because, as you can imagine, it gets frustrating after a while. It gets frustrating for me. It's probably been frustrating for my husband a few times. So I come up with these ideas. I start researching. I often dive into a business plan. At one point, I spent a couple of years on a business plan, a very long business plan. And I got to the point where I literally needed to rent a space. And I woke up one morning frightened that I was at this place where I needed to make a decision that would affect my budget and all of the people around me. And so I think it's probably fear-based. Mm-hmm. But I've blamed it on a lot of other things. I've blamed it on, oh my gosh, how am I going to get funding to start this business? Or what am I going to do about my other job? But at the end of the day, I think that it's all based around the fear of probably not succeeding, of disappointing your friends and family who have believed in you and listened to this idea for so long. I think that fear probably is the root and the base of all of these excuses I've made over the years to not move forward. You know, once in a while I'll come up with an idea and I'll start researching and I'll realize that maybe there really isn't a market for this idea that I've had. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, I feel like there has been a market and there has been interest. And I've talked to my colleagues about it and I've talked to investors about it and I've gotten really good support and feedback. But when it comes time to make the decision to take out a loan or sign on the dotted line or all of these things, that's when I backed away. And I don't think it's been because it wasn't obtainable. I think it's been because I'm just afraid about what could happen if either I failed or possibly if I succeed.
Yeah. I'm interested in that because fear of failure is a fear that a lot of creatives have, is we don't want to fail. But fear of success is something else entirely. And so what does fear of success actually look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. And maybe a lot of it is just the unknown of not knowing what that kind of success looks like. I think success can affect your free time. It can affect your daily life. It can affect your health, just like failure can. I think it's a lot of the same things. And it wasn't that I wasn't used to succeeding, because I feel like in my career I've been successful, but maybe not as successful as I would like to be out on my own. You know, I've been successful in my jobs, but when all of the pressure is on you and maybe employees rely on you and all of these other things, you fear failing those people. But then what if it goes great? What if it's awesome and your life completely turns upside down because of it, and everything that you know and you're used to is different? How do you adjust to that? How do you know what to expect? You're told that when you start a business, you work 24 hours a day and your life is changed forever and all of these things. And that's scary because you have this life that you're used to, and maybe you're not quite sure if you want it to change so dramatically, right? So maybe that's part of it too. If you succeed, everything that is normal to you changes and is different. And are you going to be okay with that? I'm not afraid to work hard. I know that working for yourself means that you work really hard. I've never been afraid of that. But I think not knowing sort of what that looks like and how it affects your daily life, that is scary. I think that can be scary for anybody.
Yeah. What is standing out as you're talking about fear is you have an amazing imagination. Like it seems like you're imagining not only all the things that could go wrong, but all the things that could go right. And would you say that sometimes that paralyzes you to act?
Probably. Although it's interesting you describe it as imagination, because I describe it as I really like to be prepared for everything, whether it be work, whether it be starting a new job, ending a new job, having children, getting married, like anything. I show up to things early usually. You know? It's like I really like to know what to expect. That's just part of my personality. I like to be really prepared for things. So I'm not sure if it's imagination, but I definitely want to know what's going to happen so that I know how to react to it in advance.
Yeah. What happens when you dive into something and it's not going like you planned and prepared for and researched?
Mm-hmm. I have to say, two things. I don't think I've been in a lot of situations like that, fortunately. I mean, the ones when I have found myself in a situation like that, I actually think I handle it fairly well, knock on wood. probably better than I would expect. And I've had people tell me that too, because I'm not a fan of speaking in public either for those same reasons, because I really like to know what to expect. But when I have had to put myself in a situation like that, it's turned out okay. So it comes back to fear, actually. Mm-hmm. It comes back to fear for not being prepared. But the times that I have been tested, I think I've kind of surprised myself. I should probably do more of that.
What's interesting is, like, when you talk about being prepared and doing research, your background has been in design, social media, and a lot of service-based work. And service-based work is, I would imagine, something that's very easy to, you know, research to death, because, you know, there's a lot of information. However, moving to more of products where you have to do more testing and you know, market testing, product testing, and all that, was it difficult to transition from service to product-based businesses?
Some of it was. I think for me, my background, like you said, is in design, advertising, marketing, social media, and all of that plays a huge role in how I'm marketing Seek and Swoon. It's how I grow the business. It's what I've had to focus on. And so all of my experience in my past career, I guess, has really benefited me in growing a product-based business. The elements of Seek and Swoon that are very product-based that I don't really have experience in, that piece hasn't really been that tough for me because I'm really a solution person. So I know that there is a solution and answer to everything. And like I said earlier, I kind of am obsessive about research. So when I decided to do this business, I needed to find a mill that could produce my throws. And it was really, really difficult to find a mill because there's not a lot of mills in the U.S. that have the right equipment anymore. It's being offshored. So I spent 6 months looking for a mill. Wow. I wouldn't have had to do that in a service-based business, you know, but I had to find a manufacturer that could produce this product, that could produce it well, that would be easy to communicate with, that I could grow with, and that I could trust. So at the end of the day, when you're a service provider, it's just all me, you know, it's all on my hands. But in this case, I'm relying on somebody else to not only produce a quality product, but get it to me on time mm-hmm. and stick with me throughout the growth of this business. So that was probably the newest piece of this for me. But at the end of the day, it's still all about finding solutions. And when you're a marketer and when you do social media and when you create advertising for people, it is all about finding solutions for people. So I always feel like I've been in this like solution industry, whether it's helping someone else market their business, finding a way to market my new business, or finding someone to produce my product. It's research and finding ways to make it happen. Yeah. So the root of it is still the same, I guess, for me.
How did you know Seek and Swoon was the right thing to start?
It's a really good question. People ask me that too. People who know that I've come up with ideas for so many years were like, blankets? What? How did you land on blankets? Because the other business ideas I've come up with aren't even similar to blankets at all. They kind of run the gamut, I guess. A couple of things. I got really angry at myself finally and frustrated at myself for not pulling the trigger on something. I mean, I've been doing this kind of back and forth for so many years, and I knew it was something that I needed to move forward with at some point. I think I just got to the point where I was kind of fed up with myself for running away, and I just knew it was time. So that's part of it. The other part of it was I've come up with a lot of ideas in categories and industries that I wasn't necessarily passionate about, but the product or service seemed viable to me. And I realized that there would probably be a disconnect at some point. I need to come up with something that I enjoyed. You know, people say you need to be super passionate about what you're doing. And I believe that to some degree. I think you just need to really enjoy it. And I kind of was afraid that a lot of the other ideas I'd come up with weren't necessarily things I was passionate about. So that's another reason why I didn't move forward. What happened was I kind of sat down and just made a list of all the things that I love. I made a list of the things that bring me joy, the things that excite me, the things that I thought would sustain me in the long term. So 2 summers ago, my husband and our 2 young sons went on a 2-month trip to Europe. And I took that as a time to kind of dig deep inside myself and figure out what is it I want to do when I get back? Because I was ready. I just needed to focus on what that idea would be and then decide I was going to move forward with it. So I got back from the trip just really feeling inspired by everything we saw and the experiences that we had, and I knew I wanted to keep traveling. And I was like, how could I bring travel into my daily life in a way that would inspire me, in a way that would keep those memories that I created over that summer sort of alive, and that would maybe even inspire other people? I was stashing away a baby blanket in the, you know, like one of those keepsake blankets, and I was like, this is kind of a cool blanket. It was the first thing we bought when we found out we were pregnant. And I did a bunch of research and I found that there were, you know, some other people out there making similar blankets. And I was like, this is kind of a blank canvas. You know, I could create anything I wanted to. And everyone has blankets. And so it kind of all came together. It was like travel, sustainability, because the throws are made from 75% recycled cotton. I wanted to have them made in the U.S. And it was something that we bring into our home that makes us feel good and cozy. And it was, I felt like it was a really good combination of all the things that I really love. I could still design, I could have something tangible in my hand, and I could continue to travel and kind of fuel this business or inspire this business along the way. So it's not anything I ever expected doing at all, but it has been interesting and exciting, and it's brought me into a industry that I really don't know anything about, which is home decor, which has been really interesting. And it's been a lot of fun, and it just seemed to come together, and it was the right time.
What's interesting about what you did, though, the process that you described was you went from researching a product and researching a service and researching all of these ideas to researching yourself and really finding what you wanted to do. And it took going on a sabbatical to Europe with your family.
Yeah, I kind of worked backwards, because what was happening before was I was coming up with ideas because I found myself in need of those things or services or somebody else in need of those things. So I knew I had a lot going on. I knew I had a lot of ideas, and I felt like I could activate those ideas and that I could bring those ideas to life. But the ideas just weren't quite right for me. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I went backwards and I took a look at what I enjoy. And then I created something around that, which I don't know if that's how most people come up with ideas or not, but it finally worked for me.
Yeah. What's fascinating too is you talk a lot about the value and importance you place on relationships. What are some of the ways you build relationships with your customers and the people that buy your throws and just all of the things that you do? Why are relationships so important?
So I have friends since literally kindergarten that I've stayed in touch with. And I know that that's really unusual for a lot of people. Also, when Facebook came on the scene, you know, it just is not for some people. It wasn't for some people then. It's not for some people now. But I love it because it's given me a better way to connect to people and stay connected to people. And it's just kind of part of my personality. I'm very much a loyal friend and a relationship person. And so as I've been a consultant over the years, I have built really strong relationships with my clients in that industry as well. And then when I started Seek and Swoon, I knew that I didn't just want to package up a throw and ship it off and that kind of be the end of it. So, you know, I often add a note in with my packaging, thanking, like a handwritten note, thanking them for their purchase. I mean, when you buy a $165 throw, I feel like they deserve a little bit more. And so for me, I thank them personally for their purchase. I connect with them on social media, not connect with them as in friend them on social media, but if somebody reaches out to me on social, I respond to them in a friendly way. And I really feel like people who purchase my throws, because that throw becomes a part of their home, they kind of become a part of my story because they are keeping my business alive, really. You know, there are stories from customers that I've heard. There was a gal at my bank who purchased the Iceland throw for her parents who go to Iceland every year. There is a gal who purchased a throw for each of her four grown children for their 25th wedding anniversary as a gift to them. And so I hear stories from families and from people who have interesting experiences or reasons that they purchase a throw. And it really inspires me to continue what I'm doing and to keep designing blankets and also not just maybe design blankets for me and for my experiences, but for other people's experiences too. If I just sent it out the door and that was kind of the end of it, then I feel like I'm just like designing a blanket or I'm just manufacturing a blanket. But I kind of need more than that to be inspired and to fuel the business. Mm-hmm. And so whether it be a customer relationship or I have retailers that carry my blankets and I formed really nice relationships with most of them, actually all of them, because they are what keeps my business alive. And so, yeah, it's really important to me to be a company who looks at sort of my business ecosystem as more than just me and the people who make my blankets, but all the people who come into contact with what I'm doing.
In an article that I read on Human Scale Business, you mentioned that it's difficult to market your own brands. And you're not alone in that, because I think a lot of creative professionals really struggle with this. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's so hard to market our own stuff?
I guess it's just because we're so close to it. You know, I've been a graphic designer for about 20 years, actually, or so. Then I went into social media. So I've helped people market their business. I've helped them tell their stories. And all of that, I feel like it comes pretty natural to me because I can step outside and look at it from an outside perspective. But when you're in the throes of it and your head is in it, and you care about it so much, I guess that's why it's difficult. You know, I'm a designer. My husband is a designer, and we both tried to brand Seek and Spoon, and we both fired, like I fired myself and then I fired my husband. And I hired somebody because I knew what message I wanted it to send, and I know what my aesthetic is. But when it came down to it, I needed to step outside of it and let somebody interpret it, just like I've interpreted client stories over the years, and it's been easier for me to do that. I need to let somebody take my story and interpret it and then turn it into a brand. Social media for me has been hard and not necessarily something that I enjoy as much as I thought I was going to. I like sharing my story. I like including my customer and my retailers in my story, but actually doing the work and putting it all out there, there's a lot of pressure and it is a lot more difficult. And like I said, I think it just really has to do with the fact that I'm so close to it. I can't figure out any other reason why it would be so hard, but I've had other businesses, you know, I'm a consultant, and then like 15 years ago, I had an actual small product-based business, and it was hard to market myself then. Although this was before, like there wasn't social media really when I had this other business, so it was kind of word of mouth. It's a lot easier. We have a lot of tools to work with right now, but I do find marketing myself much more difficult than I expected it to be, even though I know how the tools work and I know that they exist. Actually doing the work has been a challenge for me. And I don't know if it will get easier or harder or if I end up hiring somebody at some point, which will be very difficult for me because I have an idea what I want this to look like. And it's hard to let go, especially when you've been doing it as a career for so long.
Mm-hmm. So what are a few things that creative professionals can do to market themselves better? So that, you know, they not just hire someone to help them, but what are some other things that they can do to maybe have that distance from their own stuff?
That is a really good question. I mean, I think first and foremost, you have to know your story. You have to know why you're doing what you're doing. You have to figure out how your audience or your potential customer relates to that story. And then kind of practice telling it, whether you're an illustrator or a writer or a textile designer or whatever it is, we all kind of have a purpose and a passion for what we do as creative people. And I think a lot of the times for us, that story stays in our head. We don't really have to tell it very often. But I have found that for Seek and Swoon, my story has actually been, I think, a big part of why things, and I say succeed lightly because I'm still new. I'm not even a year old yet, and I'm still working at putting my brand out there. But the people who have been interested in my story, in the company's story, the people who have been telling it, it's not just this gal who's designing blankets. It's I went on this trip and I came back inspired by travel. And so when I tell people I design blankets, they're kind of like, okay, that's interesting. And they're inspired by places that I've been. Then that's when they kind of have this aha moment and they think that it's pretty interesting. So I think that, you know, not everybody has that story to tell, but I feel like no matter what we do, there is a reason behind why we do it that isn't necessarily apparent to everybody else. And that story is probably more interesting than we think it is. Mm-hmm. So I think figuring out what that story is, practicing telling that story, and not just like verbally telling it, but writing it down, you know, and then figuring out how to infuse that story into our online profiles, into, you know, situations where we are maybe networking or at an event meeting people or whatever it is. Those are ways that creative people kind of have to market themselves. It's a lot of face-to-face at events and email and whatever it is. social media, how can we kind of weave that story lightly into all the interactions that we have with people?
When you described the journey that you went on to find Seek and Swoon, the travel that you went on, how are you going to incorporate travel in the future? How will you continue to grow your story through travel?
As much as possible. I want travel to be a part of the company's story and a part of what me and my family experience 4 years to come. Obviously, Seek and Swoon is about travel, really. And I need to keep traveling in order to keep designing throws. So my husband and I would love to go on that 2-month trip once a year if we could. I don't know if that will happen, but that's kind of our goal. And it didn't happen this year because I started a business. We have talked about moving abroad for a while. And that was the original reason why we went on that trip, actually, because we were thinking about moving abroad and we wanted to explore some places. So, you know, but whether it be travel to Europe or, you know, South America or to the beach, you know, I'm working on a throw inspired by the Oregon coast right now. And so there's a lot to see in our own backyard. And for me, it's just about experiencing new places and kind of keeping things exciting and getting the kids out to explore new places and people and food. And our kids are young, and so it's really hard to travel with them. You know, they were 2.5 and 5 when we went to Europe, and it was like no joke. It was really difficult because we were just working hard at trying to entertain them. And they don't care if they're in Portland or Spain, to be honest. They just want, you know, ice cream and swimming pools. That's just all they want.
Who doesn't?
Right. So trying to find ways to incorporate travel into our work, which is difficult in and of itself because we have jobs and things that we're doing here and we have a house. But we have to get creative. And we also sort of have to think outside what is, I guess, normal for everybody, or, you know, because people don't travel. My husband told me this crazy statistic that, and I'll have to double check with him, but the percentage of U.S. citizens who have passports is like below 1%.
Oh, wow.
It's really, really low. Traveling for a long period of time, especially, is not something that a lot of us do. And, you know, when we told people we were just leaving for 2 months, everybody was mostly supportive, but some friends and family were just like, can't believe you're going to take them for 2 months. Like, you guys are crazy. And but at the end of the day, it's kind of a cliche, but you only live once and there's a lot to see. And if I can find a way to do something I love and have it integrate with my job, that's kind of the secret sauce for me. So we'll continue to figure out ways to work travel into our life, and I will continue to design throws based
awesome.
On those places.
One of my favorite movies is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And at the beginning of the movie, he's living primarily in his head. Mm-hmm. And then he's kind of forced to go on this journey and travel to Iceland and all these different places in search of a photographer and his missing negative. And what's cool about it is like in the beginning, it's all about his imagination and what's going on. And as the movie unfolds, he's imagining less and living more. And I think that's a good metaphor, I think, for society today, is that we live in our minds. We live in these digital worlds that connect us in digital spaces. But when we travel, it's about being with people and experiencing these things. And I think that's why I love your story so much, is because it's you're having this digital experience, but you're wanting to have that human experience more.
Yeah. And if you can find a way to combine all of that into one, I think that's kind of, for me, the ultimate goal. I know it's not for everybody, but digital experience, face-to-face experience, and then obviously integrate that into what we all need to do, which is make a living so that we can pay our bills and feed our family and all of those things. You know, I just felt like if I was going to do this, if I was going to finally pull the trigger on something, it might as well be something that I enjoy, something that I want to continue to do probably long after throws are in my life. But in the meantime, you know, this is a good compromise and a good collaboration of the things that I love and enjoy and the things that I have to do, which is make a living. And I also really just enjoy work. So I will always work. And if I can work doing something that I love, then I think I've kind of accomplished my goal, whether the business is successful or not.
Awesome. Well, final question. What are you excited about today?
Travel. I'm excited about planning that next trip. I think about that all of the time, actually. And just the potential, you know, I have some fun things in the works with Seek and Swim that will be happening towards the end of the year. When I think about exploring the world, and then also knowing that it connects to the work that I do every day, that's exciting for me. So I'm excited because I will get to see the world with my family, but then I also know that it is helping kind of moving my career forward. So I look forward to the next trip.
Awesome. Well, Hala, thank you so much for just taking time out of your day and sharing your story and sharing your enthusiasm for travel. It's been a blast.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much to Hala for taking time to share about her work with Seek and Swoon. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Getting Work to Work. It means a lot to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. While you're at it, head to gwtw.co where you can sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter, and find the various social media links, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so you can be social with me and I can be social with you. You'll even find a link to my Patreon page where you can support my work here at Getting Work to Work, as well as future documentary projects and online courses. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.